calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, January 15th, the Ides of January 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the Red Cross headquarters in Uncasville. I will be your net control station for this evening. And membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation in the event this evening. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. And those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 repeater with a peal tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a peal tone of 156.7 Hz, affectionately known as the Groton repeat, as the Waterford repeater. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with a couple of net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions, obtaining answers, hopefully, and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net, and we'll ask for your question after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. The first is the open net that I just described with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And finally, a third round, which is the opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items to have their opportunity to do so. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you did, also called doubling. Then press your mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically so I can write it down and know who's calling in along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question you'd like to bring to the group. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim. I'm your net control station for this evening and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Chuck in Groton, good evening. No questions yet.
Here is. Hello, Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. Kevin in Norwich with no items yet.
This is. Kilo 1 to Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
Okay, net recognizes Chuck, WNFJW. I wrote Chuck, but I really... Oh boy, it's going to be one of those nights. I wrote Chuck, but I meant to write Kevin, KA6PDG. And Dave, K1DCT. Any further check-ins, please call now.
November Kilo, 1 Victor, Steve, Coventry. 3. And I have a little bit of a question.
Okay, Net recognizes Steve and K1V with a question from Coventry. Any further check-ins, please call now.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu, KC1, KLZ, John and East Lyme. I got no questions, just listening.
Okay, John, Net recognizes John, KC1, KLZ. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, I think we'll start with Steve, seeing as you have a question, and also I'm curious how you're making out with your tower, but you can ask the question, we'll deal with that first. So, Steve, you have the floor, as it were, in K1B. This is Net Control, KC1TWR. Question, Steve, and judging from the fact that when I drove up here this evening, as seems to be most evenings when I go across the Gold Star Bridge and partially up 32, I'm listening to the Waterford repeater frequency, and yet I'm picking up another repeater that is some distance away. So just because it's VHF doesn't mean that it's going to be is going to be a short distance. I don't have any answers for you on that, but I think we'll stop at start at the top of the list and see what other people think about the VHF contesting and the as you were asking about the single sideband and about which part of the band and so forth. See what people might have in their thoughts. So we'll start with Chuck, W1FJW. Any thoughts? This is KC1TWR. Okay, this is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. We just heard a question from Steve and K1V looking for Chuck to see if he has any thoughts. W1FJW, this is KC1TWR.
No, I don't have any thoughts right at the moment. Can't help just yet. I'm drawing kind of a blank on it. But I'm sure Kevin can help. Back to Net, W1FJW.
Okay, very good. You're the second person now who's kind of drawing a blank with the mind. I'm drawing a blank on names and everything. So I could go to Chuck, KA6PDG, but thankfully I crossed that off and put Kevin. KA6BDG. What are your thoughts? This is KC1TWR.
Thanks, Steve. Tim. Well, my first thought is, Chuck, thank you very much. Was that Greyhound or Trailways? I don't have the answer. The key would be to read the contest rules. That would probably be step one. Step two, I do have a band plan, but it's not here in the shack. It's on my computer in the other room. I know it's the lower part of 2 meters there. And as far as I know, you can also work the contest on 2-meter FM simplex, of course. I know that's the case with the summer one, the summer VHF contest, so I assume it's the same with the winter one. So that's an option, too. And, of course, with the FM, you could use your vertical. I've always heard guys say that when operating single sideband on 6 or 2 meters, that it's best to use horizontally polarized antenna. But I've heard a couple of arguments saying it doesn't really matter once you get out, you know, 50, 60 miles or more. So I'm afraid I'm not too helpful. Let me, while I'm keyed down, I'll make one little quick report here that does speak to propagation. Let me reset. Quick little story. I'll rush through it here. But it's kind of fun. You never know when the bands are open and not open. A few nights ago, I think it was night before last, I got a call from N1SPX down in South Carolina, and he said, hey. And I said, hey. And he said, I see that 20 meters is open between me and Massachusetts. I think he'd been on FT8. So we agreed we'd give it a try. We got on 20-meter phone and had a nice contact with about 5-8 signals both ways. So we said, all right, let's go try 40. Now, bear in mind, Chuck has a rather inefficient antenna. It's a 20-meter inverted V, basically. So we went up to 40 using that antenna on his end, and we were able to make a contact. It was a weak signal, probably 5.3, 5.4. So he said, oh, let's go to 17. We went to 17 meters. I was 5.9, he was 10 over. And then we went to 15 meters, and we were both about 5 and 6, 5 and 7. In all cases, we had communication. So you just never know. KA6, and that was about 10 o'clock at night. KA6BDG back to net.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, right. Thank you, Kevin, for those signal reports. And that's, you know, you're right. When it's open, it's open. And you can never tell what, how far you might be able to reach and what kind of ducting might go on. I just took a quick glance at the VHF rules, and basic everything from 50 megahertz and up. So 2 meter, 220, 440, 900 megahertz, all of that is fair game. The rules don't say anything about any particular part of the band, but I know that there are some parts that are reserved for repeaters and so forth, so I would imagine the calling frequency 520 would be where most people would start, at least to, you know, hoping that everybody would be hovering around the same place and then maybe go to another frequency if they wanted to chat too long. But let's see what Dave thinks. And I know he's an old CWer with HF and so forth, but maybe he's got a VHF or a UHF trick or two up his sleeve. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening, Tim, and to all those on the net this evening. I will throw in my 2 cents worth, which brings up an interesting thought. You know, people ask you for your 2 cents worth, but yet it's only a penny for your thoughts. So where's the other penny go? Here in Connecticut, it goes to taxes. But all that aside, 2-meter, VHF contesting, sideband is typically on the very low end of the band. So there's a small portion on 2 meters that's reserved for CW, but looking at sort of a general band plan out of the repeater directory, it says that 144.2 is the calling frequency on single sideband, and then from that frequency, the decimal 2 to decimal 275 is general single sideband operation. So, you know, no, but I don't think the ham police are going to show up at your door if you deviate from that, but you know, you get up into the repeater portion and start trying to operate sideband, people aren't going to be happy with you. So, as far as horizontal or vertical, you could do either, but my very limited experience in that particular venue is most of those single sidebanders are going to be horizontal, and you're going to have a hard time if you're vertical. Like Kevin just said, maybe if you're really getting out there, it won't matter so much, but I find as you go up in frequency, polarization, horizontal, vertical of antennas matters more and more. So that's been my limited experience. And Tim, the repeater you're hearing on 06 is up in the Boston area. I hear it quite often myself. I think that's about all I got. I wanted to ask Steve if everyone that's a ham in Coventry is named Steve, because there was another station that checked into this repeater one day looking for a signal report, also from Coventry and also named Steve. So there might be a requirement up there that I am not familiar with. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, that's a very good question about the names, that's for sure. And, you know, thinking more about the contest, of course, because it's in those higher frequencies, the more elevation you have, the better probably your chances at making contact with somebody. So if you know somebody who's a private pilot and wants to fly around this weekend, that would really get you some altitude. I know I've made a couple of private plane contacts. One when I was going down to Hamfest down at the other side of the state, and he was flying south of JFK and sounded like he was sitting right next to me. But anyhow, before we go down any further on the list, this is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Looking for any further check-ins, please call now.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Whiskey, Jerry and Preston, no questions.
Net recognizes Jerry, KC1KLW, welcome aboard. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Jerry, we've got a couple of more people to get through before we get to you, so hold on tight. First, we're going to go to Steve and see if all this advice that he's heard so far, if any of it makes sense to him, and find out indeed if everybody in Coventry is named Steve, or those that have amateur radio licenses. In K1V, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
I appreciate the input, and Maybe next round I'll mention the antenna project. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, very good, Steve, and I think I know what you're talking about. It's like a rectangular tube if you look at the outer dimensions and so forth by having the three squares, as it were. I used to have an antenna like that until somebody stepped on it, but anyhow, let's go on down to John, KC1KLZ, and see if he has any comments about VHF and whether he dabbles in it at all or even does any contesting in it. KC1KLZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1KLZ. Nope, a little out of my league. 2 meters is about all I'm going to do here. And just fun to listen in. The thing got dusty. I haven't had a chance to use it much. And that's about it. Back to net.
Okay, very good. Being in East Lyme, you may want to see if you have programmed in the Rhode Island repeater network. They finally got all 9 repeaters linked together again, so it's been quite active. I think it's 147.39, but I'd have to double check on that. You may already have it programmed in, but it's been getting quite active. Been hearing some good conversations there. Okay, we'll go down to the bottom list here. Jerry, the last person who checked in, and what we were talking about was the VHF contest coming up this weekend. And anything else that you may want to think or talk about, KC1KLW, this is KC1TWR.
KC1KOW. Good evening, Tim, and everyone else on the net. I have no real questions for tonight, so I'm just waiting to hear what I can hear and learn some more as I go along. Back to net.
Okay, very good, Jerry. Very good indeed. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. Why not? Anybody else that would like to join in on the conversation, please call now. Okay, I think we'll run back to the top of the list. I have a couple of interesting things I came across this week. One of them my wife actually found for me. It's out in Lansing, Michigan. Apparently there was an article which I haven't gotten to read yet because it's, long story short. Apparently the amateur radio operators out there are very upset because there's a number of them around these big farms that are sprouting up that are growing marijuana. And the marijuana farmers are using grow lights and things of that nature and causing all kinds of RF interference. So I thought that was, I was going to say amusing, but I do feel bad for the amateur radio operators out there. The other thing that I wanted to just mention was I just spent a little bit of time up here at the Red Cross office updating the computer that they use for Winlink, because it's not connected to the internet at all. So I had to download the latest version of Winlink in the latest forms and load it on the computer and then fire it up and test it and so forth. Wasn't that complicated, which was good. And I was very happy to be able to send and receive a couple of messages and make sure everything worked well. But let's go on to Chuck, W1FJW. And other than the VHF contest, wondering how your latest antennas are working out, because I know that you put up some newer antennas within the past 6 months or so. And just hoping that they're still giving you the performance you were expecting. W1FJW, this is KC1TWR.
They've worked well on FM and on the upper portion of the band. To be honest with you, it's all vertical, so I haven't tried any 2 meter single sideband yet. Hopefully someday I'll get the urge and I'll see how it works. I'll take the hit for being cross polarized, but I haven't really checked out that operation yet. And about the questions of everyone in Coventry named Steve, I knew, was an amateur radio operator, but I knew someone in Coventry, and Steve was not her name. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, I think that still works out, because if she was, the original statement, I think, from Kevin had to do with amateur radio operators named Stephen Coventry, and if she didn't have an amateur radio license, then she's allowed not to have the name Steve. So that works out well. Okay, and with that, we'll go back to the person who first brought up about the names, Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
You know, I get blamed for everything. I didn't bring it up. I think it might have been Dave, but I'm not sure. Let's blame Dave. Yeah, let's blame Dave for everything tonight, but it wasn't me. And yeah, that is what you made a comment, I think, Tim, earlier on people using 146.52 simplex for the VHF contest, and yes, that does happen during the summer, and I don't know if they do it during the winter contest, but I know during the June VHF contest, the Ham Radio Club up at Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute, which is up in Rensselaer, oddly enough, New York, they trek up to the top of Mount Greylock, and one of the stations they operate is 2 meter FM. And I've heard them a couple of years on 652 simplex, and I've worked them from the Norwich area. So that's an option. I don't know how much activity there'll be with this one. The other thing, let me reset. On the subject of the grow lights, and I have heard of that before, where they cause a lot of RFI. There's a ham here locally who has spoken about one of his neighbors having them, and that it interferes with his HF. I can't say whether he's correct or not, that actually happens in his neighborhood, but it very well could. However, the thought occurs to me that if the grow lights used for growing the marijuana operate on ham radio frequencies, so to speak, then why couldn't you just use amateur radio RF to grow the marijuana, and then you wouldn't need the grow lights? Dude, like, far out. Wow, heavy. KA6PDG, back to net.
Well, that's an interesting concept there, Kevin. I would be kind of puzzled. Not puzzled. It would take some kind of power to continue to transmit enough to, I think, continually put out the RF that the plants would need. You'd need somebody long-winded. I don't know anybody like that. But, and the other thought is that I guess a 160-meter antenna, multiples of them, a nice array of them, might work out well for the factory-type buildings that they're growing them in. But those are probably just pie in the sky or smoke dreams, as it were. But we will go to Dave and see if he's ever been bothered by grow lights and things of that nature, or if he's done any interesting VHF contesting other than from his home QTH. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening again to all, and no, I've never really been a VHF contester. I might have dabbled, you know, once or twice just to see how it would go, but, you know, this antenna that I'm on is a quarter wave ground plane, so it's, my success was, we'll say, extremely limited. And yes, I was the one that brought up the name thing. just because I'm a wise guy. And if you don't know that about me, then you don't know me at all. And I can take the blame because I'm used to it. So, let's see. I wanted to ask, just interject a couple of things. Tim, you mentioned the Rhode Island repeater linking. So I'm wondering which ones those are. If you can mention that next time around. And the aeronautical mobile contacts. I have done that when I was flying. I would take a little handheld with me and make a few contacts, sometimes on a repeater, sometimes simplex. So it was fun, but, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, it was difficult to scare someone up. So, because I guess not everybody listens to 5-2 like I do all day. So, but that's another thing. Now, on to the grow light. I do have some knowledge of these grow lights. They are 1,000 watt, the ones I'm familiar with, and we can go into that, how familiar I am and how I got that way with these another time. But the ones I'm familiar with are 1,000 watt bulbs, and they have these big ballast transformers to kick the voltage up, and so it generates a pretty fair amount of RF, so, and they draw a very fair amount of electric current, so, you know, these growing places, their kilowatt hour meter is cranking along, we'll say, so that's as much as I'll go into at this point. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you for your comments there, Dave. Yeah, a couple of responses to that. Number one, the 5-2 frequency. I've read a number of comments from people that you know, not a lot of people actually use that or pay attention to it. I know when I was traveling down to North Carolina and back, one side of my dual bander would be on 5-2, and I would hardly ever hear a chirp from anybody. Then again, I wasn't sending out my call sign either, so I'm guilty as charged. It dawned on me with those 1,000-watt grow lamps. I guess to keep the electric bill out, you'd want to use solar. But then again, if you're using solar, then why don't you just use the sun on the plants instead of the grow lights? But then again, I guess you're trying to protect the plants. Okay, before we go on any further, I'm going to do another call-out. And before that, I just wanted to mention last night at the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, KS1U did a nice presentation on the 150-watt dummy load watt meter that he built. It was a kit that was talked about in the, I think it was the November 2018 QST magazine. And it uses one of the smaller Arduino boards. And so for less than $25, he had a nice little watt meter on top of his dummy load that he, you know, could verify, you know, how much power was going out. So I found that interesting. But anyhow, let me reset. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. All amateur radio operators are welcome to join. You don't need to be a member of the club. Or you can just listen. It's up to you. But those that would like to join the conversation, please call now. Okay, we'll move on to Steve. And we've been talking about grow lamps. We've been talking about the good contacts that Kevin was able to make with Chuck NSP1X down in South Carolina, and so forth. And also, you might give us a tower report. What do you feel about like talking about there, Steve? NK1B, this is KC1TWR.
NK1B. Well, definitely related to the tower situation, I am currently building, many nights journey, a relay switch set up for, because everything's going to be remote, I would have no way to disconnect the antennas in inclement weather. And a series of four relays with, you know, normally open, normally closed position, I've concocted a method of when they're not energized, the antenna goes to ground, and the transceiver goes to through a 50-ohm, 100-watt resistor to ground to give it, in case I make a boo-boo and transmit. And during when they're energized, it passes through both relays to antenna. So it seems like it might work, and I'll do some testing with SWR and stuff before I fire it off, but it looks like it worked. But one thing we've all talked about on this net is testing one step at a time as we go along, and I've been doing that, and I found one of my relays has a the normally closed contact is not functioning. So that was, I'm kind of glad I checked that, because they're just assuming that it works. You know, new just means you're the first to own it. Now let me reset. With the weather, I have gotten a tremendous amount done. I've got all the conduit in. I'm doing some stuff in the basement. I've ordered some pieces of stuff for, you know, various attachments and such. I've accumulated all my harnesses. And the good news, I think I mentioned this on the other net, all my wires are 100 feet long, and I have 6 feet left extra of conduit, so that means I'll have enough wire to fit the conduit. That's all done. So I don't know about the pole. You know, the weather's going to take a turn for the worse, so it may be springtime if I get to pull the wires. But looks good, yeah. I'm going to be working on it, and lots to do, you know, just assembling stuff down in the basement. There's a lot of work. It's a work in progress, but it is moving forward. The weather has been tremendously cooperating. Back to net, NK1B.
Very good. Thank you for that report there, Steve. And glad things are working out well for you. Glad that you were able to verify you have enough cable. You don't have to do any splicing or anything. And the weather certainly has been nice, although it's going to get colder, I guess, next week and be down in the 20s. But if the sun's there, that'll help. And I like the fact that you have long-range plans. And at the end of that, you should be very happy and content and have a very good setup. So that should be good. Glad you brought up the point about the testing, you know, every step of the way, because, like you said, finding that relay that you would expect to be working, not working, that could have caused quite a headache in troubleshooting later on if you had everything assembled and then couldn't figure out why things weren't working. Okay, we'll go down to John, and I guess my question to you, John, is do you have the Rhode Island, any of the Rhode Island repeaters plugged into your radio there? And I think it's 147.39 is the closest one. That's the westerly one, I believe. And to answer Dave's question, is my, well, to answer the question briefly, it's all nine repeaters in Rhode Island of the 2 meter variety are now hooked back up because the 220 link that's on top of the Superman building down in Providence, the power got turned back on and everything worked. Nobody knows who turned the power on, why they turned it on, but it's on. I did hear a conversation with the person who has the control on the equipment there, saying that they're trying to see if they can gain access to get at the equipment, because the building, I guess, is pretty well shuttered at this point. There's some discussion about tearing the building down, or is it part of the historical register or not, etc. But so that's still up in the air. But for the time being, it's working, and all nine repeaters in Rhode Island, from Cumberland all the way down to Westerly, are working and linked together, so that's great. But let's go on to John, KC1KLZ, and see if he does have access to those Westerly, to the Westerly and Rhode Island repeaters. This is KC1TWR. Now this is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. John, you still hanging out there? KC1 KLZ, this is KC1 TWR. Okay, something must have gotten his attention, not a problem. We'll move on to Jerry, and same question to you. Do you have the Rhode Island repeaters, and can you reach any of them from where you are in Preston? KC1KLW, this is KC1TWR.
Tim, no, I do not have them programmed into my radio, but I suppose I can reach Westerly if I did try, and I think I got them one time on my handheld, so I think it's possible, but I haven't programmed it in, seeing how I wasn't getting anything back. But now that it's on the air, I'll give it a shot. Back to net.
Okay, very good. Yep, it's, been hearing quite a bit of chatter over there, and, various people talking. And being surprised, we're linked again, and that's good. So that's been working out very nicely. And also, I've been hearing some people on the air who said that they haven't been on the air in a while. And I think it could be because the repeater that they were on was isolated and had almost no traffic, but now they're hearing other people talk. And I think that's really the way that it is on these repeaters. The more we hear people talk, the more we're inclined to jump in and talk with people and so forth. But if we turn it on and we never hear anything, why say anything? But we'll see how that works. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. Quick call out for any further stations that would like to join the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Please call now. Okay, we're going to round robin to the top of the list again, and back to Chuck, and I guess we can do a similar question to him, or he can pick any of the other subjects that we've been talking about this evening, and see if there's anything that's piqued his interest in these discussions. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
A couple things. One is, I believe the kind of antenna that Steve NK1V was trying to describe originally is colloquially called a quaggy, combination of quad and yaggy, where you have square elements at each each position at the reflector, the driven element, and the director are all two-dimensional objects, and it works quite well, and it's a bit quieter. And I imagine if you set it on an angle, it would, 45 degree, it would do both horizontal and vertically quite well. And about the dummy load, and I only thought about that was, suppose we filled it with vegetable oil, could we do popcorn and chicken at the same time we're lining up the rig? Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, let's see, for the dummy load, that would be perfect for field day. Or doing any transmitting from outside. I wouldn't want to do that inside the house, but I guess if you have enough wattage, why not? It might be interesting. And I like that name, the Quaggy. Makes me think of quagmires, makes me think of quahogging. It's definitely a New England sound to it, even though it's probably used all across the world. Okay, and with that, I think we're ready to move on to the next person on the list. And see what he thinks about Steve's project and about the Quaggy, and see what else he might have thought of in all this time. It's taken a while to get back to him. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
it took a while because I've been munching on a eggplant lasagna out here in the kitchen, or out there in the kitchen. Anyway, I was making some notes. A couple of things were touched on, so I'll zip through it. The westerly repeater is, in fact, 147.390. The input is up 600, but your rig should do that automatically. And the PL is 67 hertz. You asked if anybody had done a lot of VHF contesting. The one thing I was remembering is when I lived in Oregon, and I think it was during the VHF contest in June, I went out with another guy. We were mobile, and we went hunting grid squares and operating from different grid squares. That used to be a real big thing. I don't think it's as popular now as it used to be. County hunting also used to be a big thing and has kind of fallen off. A comment about 146.52, and let me reset. Pet peeves is that there are a number of people, that's a calling frequency, and there are a number of people, not a lot, but a few, who use that for rag chewing. By rag chewing, I mean going on and on and on for maybe half an hour or an hour or even several hours, using it as a rag chew frequency. I really wish that they would not do that. I ran into a problem with that the day that I was meeting Jerry out at Hopeville Pond. I didn't even comment that, hey, I didn't say anything snide like, hey, this is a calling frequency. I just, as the gentleman was turning it over to his friend, I keyed up and I said, I'd like to make a call when you have a sec. And while he was quite polite, he acted like, well, who am I, you know, to want to make a call on the frequency. So really, 146.52 is for calling and then moving your station up. There are a lot of other simplex frequencies to use, and I'm a believer in respecting the gentleman's agreement of using those for a calling frequency. It's not a part of Part 97 rules, but it is a very valid thing that also you'll observe on other bands, even on licensed bands like GMRS. Let me reset for one final remark. I think it was Dave, because we're blaming everything on Dave tonight, mentioned the other repeater on this frequency being in the Boston area. I was not aware of one in Boston. There may be. The one that I've typically heard talked about and that I have heard, particularly when there's tropospheric ducting, here on 147.06 is the one over in Valhalla, New York. And I don't remember the tone for it or anything, or the call sign, but it's over in metropolitan New York, up there north of New York City. Valhalla, I believe, is where it's located. If there's one in Boston, then I am edumacated that there's more than one. All right, I think that's anything resembling useful that I had to say. K6PDG.
Well, thank you, Kevin. As always, you have a lot of good comments. It seems to me that the three major repeaters that we have in the area, which were the ones down closest to me, one would be the one we're on right now, the Salem 147.06, the Waterford is the .97, and then the Groton .67 repeaters. All of those seem to have other repeaters that I can hear at one time or another from the Groton area. So it can be quite interesting at times, but most of the time you don't hear them. But as the atmospheric conditions change, topospheric things happen, it all comes together. And of course, you did bring food into the conversation, so we can check that box off as a requirement for the TipsNet. And we can move on down to Dave. And Dave, because we're blaming you for everything this week, per Kevin, I think that you get to pick who we're going to blame next week. Let's see what you have to say about that and anything else. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
Oh, well, who could blame next week? Now, that's someone likes to think ahead. I like that. Yeah, and I would just blame everything on Kevin. I mean, that's just how we operate. The reason I mention that the repeater I hear is in the Boston area, because when I clearly hear the voices talking, not the ones in my head, but the ones coming out of the radio, they're talking about 495 and Route 128, which I know is Boston. And as I look here in my repeater directory from more than 10 years ago, it says there's a place called Medway in the Blackstone Valley, and it lists the 14706. So whether that's the exact same one, I could go on the interweb here and probably come up with a better thing. But that's why I claim at least the one I hear. But I have... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. No, I thought you were talking about 97. 97 is the one up at... I'll have to look up that frequency. There's a 97 repeater up in the Boston area, and I thought that's what you said, Tim, but not... And Kevin is right. I hate to admit that. But, yes, the 06 I normally hear is over in New York somewhere, because a lot of two calls and all that kind of stuff. So I'll have to look down through here and find a 97. And, there's one up in Paxton, Mass. So kind of in the central area. So maybe it's not as close as I thought. But anyway... That's all I got. And next week we'll blame Kevin. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And I was originally talking about the 97 repeater, and somehow it got morphed into the 06, but as I said before, almost all the repeaters seem to have a doppelganger somewhere around, but depending on the atmospheric conditions, sometimes they come through pretty well. The one from Valhalla, I believe that their actual repeater antenna is on top of the Brooklyn Bridge. I could be wrong on that, but that's what rings a bell for me, because I think I went and looked at their webpage at one point. But don't quote me on that, because I could be wrong. And with that, we're going to go ahead and go down to Steve in K1B. And I think this is the last round we're on due to the time constraints. So what comments do you have for us in K1B? This is KC1TWR.
K1B. Not too much for comments. My mind did a reboot when Kevin said eggplant lasagna. Rhode Island repeaters, I never even thought of that. I think, actually, when I get this tower going, I'm going to, and I can even try it from here. I've never even tried, because I just noticed this evening that on my scanner I was getting some Rhode Island EMS stuff coming in, which doesn't always come in. I have a whole, batch of frequencies in there, just random stuff. And it might be worth a shot. I've never even tried. So maybe I'll work on that this weekend or something. Get him in there anyways and see what comes up. And you're right about the if nobody's talking, nobody can hear, this sometimes you just gotta get on and put your call out there, and it's amazing what'll come back. Back to that, and K1B.
Okay, very good, Steve. And I should mention, by the way, looking at the rules, that they're also saying that besides this VHF contest, you can use CW, SSB phone, FT8, FM only, PSK31, all the digital modes, and so forth. So there might be other ways of squeaking out some contacts. Okay, we'll give John a quick try and see if he's back, and if he's got any of the Rhode Island repeaters plugged in and been able to hear any of their conversations. KC1KLZ, this is KC1TWR. Okay, well, we'll move on to Jerry. And any final comments for this round of the for this section of the TIPSnet? KC1KLW, this is KC1TWR.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is that my original problem with a grounding has returned, and it's due to rainwater. So now I'm going to be troubleshooting that problem that is causing an intermittent chirping sound on my rig. And it's definitely due to rain, because it only happens when it rains. So that's what I'm going to be doing the next few days. Back to net.
Okay, very good. One thing I would suggest is waiting till everything dries out and you don't have the problem. Then go outside with a garden hose and start watering down your different connections one at a time and see if you can find out which connection is the one that's giving you the problem. That might be one way to do it, but I'm sure there's also other ways of doing it. But anyhow, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet does have three sections. We've been talking on the first section. Any last comments on the first section before we go into the next two sections? If anyone has any final comments, please call now. Okay, any check-ins before we go into the last two sections? Please call now. Okay, we're now into the second section of the TIPSnet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now. Okay, before we get to the third section, I'll do a quick recap of the typical announcements that there is a group of amateur radio operators that meet every Thursday morning at the Old Times Restaurant in Norwich, promptly at 7 o'clock when the doors open. You can be there a few minutes late if you want. We'll draw up another table if need be. Secondly, on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, there's another group of amateur radio operators that meets in the sunroom at the Uncasville Diner on Route 32 in Uncasville, Connecticut. That's always a good group as well. Tomorrow night is the RACON monthly meeting at the fire headquarters in Norwich at 7:30 p.m. You can get directions at racon.org. That's their website. And I think that covers most of the things. And the tech class down here at the Red Cross building is still going pretty well. We're into our second week. If you know anybody that still wants to join, it's not quite too late, so send them on down. Any questions about any of those items, please call now. Okay, now for the third section of the TIPSnet. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for any amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
PDJ.
K1DCT.
K1V.
Okay, we'll take all three in order. So, Kevin, you have first dibs, K6PDG. What have you got?
Gimme. I'm thinking about getting back into CW and did some preliminary investigating into keyers and paddles and stuff, and I'm blown away by the prices. So I'm looking for anybody who might have a used CW setup. I want to go with paddles or an iambic keyer, that kind of thing, that they might want to get rid of for a reasonable price. If so, contact me. I'm good on QRZ, and I'm usually trashing one of the repeaters around here, so I'm easy to find. But interested in getting back to CW, I'm not real inclined to use a straight key, primarily because I have a problem with shaky hands these days, and it has nothing to do with grow lights. K6PDG, back to net.
Okay, very good. And we'll go ahead and move now down to Dave. What do you either want or what are you trying to offer up? This is KC1TWR.
All right, well, thank you. This is K1DCT. What I have for sale is, those of you that might remember last week's clock escapade, I did end up with two. So what I have is a 10-inch dial analog clock, and the normal hour hand and second minute, hour, and second hand revolve in a 12-hour sequence, but there's an additional hour hand that rotates in a 24-hour sequence. So the objective being you set local time and you use the other hour hand, which is in red, so you can easily tell it apart, for Zulu time. So I don't need two, so I'm looking to get rid of one. So you can, if anybody's interested, I can send a picture, hit me up on my call sign at yahoo.com, K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, very good. And last but not least, Steve in K1B, what do you got? Okay, very good. It's an interesting set of things there, both being looked for and being offered up for sale. Anyone have any questions for Kevin, Dave, or Steve, please call now. Okay, before we close the net, any final comments or any last check-ins before we close the net, please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and we're going to close the net at this time, and I always think of closing the net that we've got all the fish that we want, but I guess that's not a very good analogy. But I'd like to thank all that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet this week, and thank you to all those that stood by and listened as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio